It's time now for Community Connection. We've got an in-studio guest this morning with a familiar name and voice, right?
Good morning, Mike. Nice to meet you.
Good morning, Bill. Good to meet you, too. How are things away from radio?
I have an office with windows, I tell people when they ask. And, as you know, we don't have windows here in the studios. And I work in a beautiful building that was built about 20 years ago, added on to the original Carnegie Library. So you'll have to come over and take a look at it.
Yeah, take a visit over there. We were talking off air before the interview. We both kind of got into radio around the same time. You did 42 years in radio.
Right, all here.
All right here. I'm in year 41 in radio at a bunch of different places, and we kind of reflected about how the industry has changed over the years, over four-plus decades.
Right, yeah. Getting my start on the Larry King Show overnight and just running the network feed and dropping in local commercials and keep the coffee flowing so I could stay awake.
Now we don't even need those overnight people anymore, Bill. Gosh.
I know.
I think most folks probably know what you transitioned to after you left the radio world, but just let folks know what you've been doing.
Sure. Well, it's kind of a funny story because I had started a program with Cam Erickson, who was the director at the time at the museum, and had been doing that for a few months. And then I went in one day to record, and she said, "I'm kind of down today. I just lost my collections manager." And I told her that, well, I got some news. I just quit the radio station. And she thought for a second and said, "You know, you should put your resume together." So it came together, and I started working at the museum then.
So when you quit the radio business in August of 2022, at that time you didn't know exactly what your next move was going to be. Is that right?
I was enjoying sleeping in.
Yes, imagine that. Yeah, because when you do this shift, you are an early riser. You have to be.
That's right.
All right, so you're at the museum now, and I'm going to learn more about the museum here in just a second. But top of mind, you've got a bus trip coming up that you wanted to tell folks about.
Right. On September 21st, we are going to be doing a bus tour. It'll be our third annual bus tour. And this year, we will be going through Sinis and Stevens Townships. And if you are unfamiliar with them, they are the two townships that are on the southern border on the west side of Stevens County. They border Swift and Big Stone counties. And when I first heard that those were the counties we were going to do, I thought, I've been out in that area. There's not a lot out there. But actually, when I started digging into the history of the area, there's a lot of really great stories, and there's a lot of a change going on in especially Sinis Township right now. So I think it's going to be a fun tour, a lot to talk about. And so we have a bus from Rusted Bus Line that's going to be taking us on a five-hour tour. Starts at 10 o'clock, again on September 21st, runs until about 3 p.m. And the itinerary is this. We're going to stop first. We're going to meet at the Trinity Lutheran Church parking lot in Alberta and load up the bus there. And I want to say the bus is going to be a 27-passenger bus, and it's that nice one that we used last year for the trip to Sisseton. And so nice, comfortable seats, and so nice, comfortable ride for that.
You made a bus trip to Sisseton.
Right, and we stopped by the lookout tower outside of Sisseton, and then we went over to Fort Wadsworth.
Mm-hmm. That's the Sisseton's my hometown.
Oh,
that's why
that's
I brought
right.
that
that's
up.
Right.
And, yeah, the Nicollet Tower is a couple, 2-3 miles west of town as you get up into the Coteau Hills right by the golf course there. So cool.
See Minnesota from there?
You can. Absolutely, you can. So I would assume, Bill, taking this job, you have to be at least somewhat of a history buff, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I wrote a lot of news here. And you know, when you write news, you get to, you're writing current history. So, I wasn't really familiar with the early county history. So I've done a lot of reading in the past couple of years, and there's a lot that's happened here in the past 150 years.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you mentioned this one township has changed quite a bit.
Right. Well,
what do you mean? Tell me more about that.
Well, that's going to take in one of our stops along the way. So if I can go through the itinerary here.
Sure.
We'll start off loading up in Alberta, and then we'll head south on County Road 9 down to what was known as the Sinis Store. And years ago, there were a lot of little local stores out in these townships where it was a long trip to go into town to get you know, common supplies, you know, whether it's milk or eggs or whatever it happens to be. And so these little stores sprung up where you could pick up these necessities and maybe stop in, have a beer with people. And they were local meeting places. And so the Cinestore was one that lasted well into the 50s at least. And George Reimers owns that property out there. And he's going to be telling us about that. And then we're going to also talk about what was actually the only church in those two townships. We'll stop by the Cinna Cemetery out there. And then we'll go over to West River Dairy, and that's where the change is coming, where West River Dairy has about 10,000 head of cattle out there, and they, of course, need workers. So you have a different group of immigrants coming into this township, Spanish-speaking generally, and so it's kind of a continuation where you have the Irish, the Germans, the Scandinavians coming into the area, and so now we've got a new set of immigrants coming into the area. So we're going to stop by, tour West River Dairy, and then after that, we're going to stay on the bus for that part of the tour, and then we'll go over to Riverview Dairy, where they have a better setup for serving lunch. Before we have lunch, we're going to go see the milking parlor over there too, which I guess is quite a sight. How they take care of, you know, 10,000 head of cattle there.
That dairy industry has changed so much from, you know, the small individual dairy farmer to now these massive, just humongous. I mean, 10,000 head of dairy cows. And you talked about, you know, the immigrant workers who are coming in and doing the work at those places. And I know some of these dairy farms are even turning to robotics to help get the job done. It's right. an interesting change that's taking place there.
And so we'll have staff from Riverview and from West River leading us through that tour there. And we'll stop and have lunch catered by Willie Super Value. And after that, then we'll head back out into the townships. We'll take a look at some of the conservation areas out there. And I got a chance to talk to Mary Ann Scharf. Many people know her from her extension days. And also we'll talk about her husband, John, who was statewide recognized as an expert in conservation. He was in the DNR for 40 years. And so I had a chance to talk to her about how they got their conservation acres in there, and we'll stop by and look at the boxcar quarter, but we won't go back to where the boxcar is. We'll tell you about what the boxcar is on the tour. And then we've got a couple more stops. Loveland Hall is one of the old township halls. It was moved recently, and it's right off County Road 13, and Monica Kleindl will tell us about the history of Loveland Hall. They used to have their own fair out there at one time, back in the early 1900s. And then if you're going to go through Stevens Township, you got to stop by the Shop Barn. It's an old stone and cement barn. The roof has fallen in, but the barn walls are still there and still sturdy, even after that May storm a couple of years ago. Didn't faze it. So
interesting.
And we'll hopefully have, I think it's Tom Schott that's going to come out and talk to us on that one. And so,
Bill, are there seats still available on the bus tour, number one? Yeah. And if you've got seats, how do people get signed up? And is there a cost for the bus tour?
Of course. Yes. And we opened it up to members to begin with. And we've got about a half dozen seats left. So the cost is $40. And that includes your lunch. And to reserve your spot, all you have to do is call the museum, 589-1719. And we'll get you signed up and meet you at Alberta.
589-1719, the number to call to get signed up for the bus tour. And again, it's coming up September 21st, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the nice things about this tour, too, is that many of the people that are on the tour are history buffs as well. And they probably know more than I do. So it's great to get them involved in the conversation. They can tell stories about their time in the townships or their experiences as growing up in the area, that kind of thing.
As a veteran radio broadcaster, you really should be the moderator, you know, with the voice and everything, right?
Yes, I will be the one leading it, and we'll have somebody else. We'll have some little prizes and quiz stuff to go along the way. So,
have you done some of these bus trips in the past, Bill, and will you be doing more in the future?
Well, it's third annual, so I hope to do a fourth annual next year. I was the moderator on the first one, and I think Cam did it herself last year. But yeah, we'll have fun on a. We're only doing one trip this year. We usually do like a morning and an afternoon trip. Well, this one's going to be a little bit longer, and we'll have just the one trip. So,
all right. Again, the date is September 21st. If folks want to get signed up, 589-1719 is the number to call. $40, and that will include the transportation and a nice meal and everything else, right?
Lots of good company, yeah. And there'll be a restroom stop during lunchtime.
Oh, we need one of those,
yep,
too.
If you're going to be out there for 5 hours, you know, we don't have to stop at the boxcar and, you know.
Exactly, yeah. No outhouses involved.
Nope. The corn, you know, will be starting to be harvested, so, you know, we won't even have that.
Indeed. All right. Hey, Bill, thank you for coming in, letting us know.
I got one more thing, though.
Yep, go ahead.
We have a director's position that's opening up, and so we are taking applications. We'll be posting a position description on our website later today. They just finalized the description yesterday at the board meeting, and applications should consist of a resume, including your name, address, phone number, email, and prior education and work experience, a cover letter stating why you're applying for it, and 3 references. And we will be keeping this position open. We will take applications until it's filled. Just a couple of things that to touch on. The director will supervise paid staff, coordinate work hours and training, evaluate staff performance, the kind of things you expect from a director, keep up-to-date timesheets, and provide recognition of volunteers, and also assist the collections manager in conducting research. And something that I think is important is having a sense of putting together exhibits and kind of having a feel for the people that you're trying to reach with these exhibits.
Sure.
And so if you've got, you know, that kind of rules me out. I have a whole different set of what I like.
Sure.
So
yeah,
it doesn't always line up with what other people think. So,
sure.
But I mean, it's you'll work with Collective Access, our program, keeping track of all the inventory, and develop those exhibits. And again, if you want to know more, watch our website, StevensHistoryMuseum.com. We'll be posting that job description and to apply.
Sounds good. Bill, thanks for coming in. Good luck with the bus tour.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Good to meet you, and continued success there.
Yeah,
appreciate
you too.
It. All right, thank you much. That's your Community Connection this morning on KMRS.
When you work the land, you know out there in some far corner of a field, there's an old steel fence post that has your number, and that's when you should have ours. We're your certified Firestone Farm Tire dealer. And